Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Moving closer to the fall holy days, we tend to start focusing more and more on the kingdom of God as we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Since that time when Jesus ascended through the clouds to heaven, many have curiously wondered when Jesus will return. And since that time, this curious fascination has not gone away. We people tend to take comfort in knowing when something will happen. For those who live where there are hurricanes and tropical storms, there is a direct benefit knowing when that will happen. Life events also tend to happen with a certain level of predictability. The expected time a baby spends in the womb before birth is the same. When bills come due, they come due following a predictable pattern, normally on the same day each month. Even paychecks, retirement checks, and government benefit checks come with a predictable pattern. Imagine how confusing it would be in life if there was no pattern in life, where in one moment you are on the beach under blue calm skies, and in the next second you are caught up in a hurricane. Imagine if unpredictability applied to human gestation, where some might carry a baby for 9 months, others for 9 years, and a few others 9 seconds. The amounts of bills and paychecks can vary. But imagine how challenging it would be to avoid interest charges on credit card bills with due dates randomly changed at the whim of the credit card company, or if employers and government entities could decide to issue your check randomly, sort of like being told you're getting paid for this month, but we've decided to pay you in 30 years. We people tend to take comfort in knowing when something will happen, and with the return of Jesus Christ, it is no different. For those of us who live by faith, we know that even though knowing when Jesus will return would be comforting, we know that information is information not made available to us, not even to Jesus. Only God our Father knows that information, but through verses of the Bible, we are given broad concepts to look at. One of those concepts is that the days leading up to the return of Jesus Christ are compared to the days of Noah, where people disregarded God up until they were killed by the floodwaters. When Jesus returns, we are told about half will be ready for the return of Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. People celebrated life in the time of Noah as they do today, and as they will right before the return of Jesus. During the time of Noah, people focused on what was evil. They thought of evil, they lived a life of evil, and they died in evil. And yes, they married and were given in marriage, as we do today. At that time, man was so evil that God decided to destroy mankind from the face of the earth, except for Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God saw Noah as just and perfect compared to the world in which he lived, And God spared Noah from the fate of everyone else because everyone else was corrupt. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What did mankind do to cause God to see the world as full of wickedness, where the people were so focused on evil? God told Noah that through mankind, the earth is filled with violence. And the Hebrew word for violence, Strong's Hebrew word 2555, kamak, does mean violence and could also mean unjust gain, injustice, and oppressor. Do we live in a world that has violence, unjust gain, injustice, and oppression? Of course we do. God then gave Noah specifications to build the ark, that Noah's wife, sons, and daughters-in-law could also be on the ark along with the animals. And Noah did all that God commanded. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah was given a week to gather up animals for the ark, seven males and females of the clean animals, and two males and females of unclean animals, along with seven male and female birds. Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. By the time floodwaters first became noticed on earth, Noah, his family, and the animals were safely in the ark. Once the water rose to the point where it covered the mountaintops, all people and animals had died. Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Knowing that Jesus will return at a time that will be as in the days of Noah, Jesus then told the disciples to watch, because we do not know what hour he will return, and that we need to be ready for his return at any time, because Jesus will return at a time we do not think he will come. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Greek word translated as watch in verse 42 is Strong's Greek word 1127, Gregorio. And we find that same word translated in several other New Testament verses. It means to keep awake, to watch, to be vigilant. For instance, the church in Sardis in the book of Revelation was told to be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, and were also reminded that Jesus comes as a thief with them, not knowing the hour he will return. Revelation 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The same Greek word translated as watch was also translated as vigilant in one place, as we are reminded that it is Satan who, as our adversary, seeks whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he knew that they understood Jesus would return at an unknown time, at a time when others thought they would have peace and safety. He reminded them of the need to be spiritually watchful and sober, to be spiritually awake and not to spiritually slumber. For those who are called, there is no taking time off from that which is spiritual. We have to be in a constant state of spiritual readiness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The Colossians were told to continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving, also praying for those who preach the word of God. The Colossians were also told to walk in wisdom toward those who are not called, and to be graceful in speech, knowing how to respond to people. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to you ought to answer every man. The book of Revelation shows that those who are watching during the turbulent end times, who keep their spiritual garments, are blessed. This blessing is proclaimed as the sixth angel is pouring out his vial on the river Euphrates to dry it up. This turbulent time occurs right before the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Jesus proclaimed a blessing on those servants who are found watching when their Lord returns, and reminds us to be also ready because we do not know when Jesus will return. Luke 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Jesus went on to explain that servants who do what is expected, even when no person is looking, is a faithful and wise steward and will be blessed. But if a servant begins to think that his Lord is delaying his return and uses that idea to exploit others while also giving himself a free pass in life, that servant will be in for a surprise when the Lord does return, because he did not prepare for his Lord's will. Jesus concluded his thoughts, telling the disciples that to whom much is given, of him much shall be required. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give him their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he chided Peter for not being able to watch for 1 hour, because Peter and John fell asleep while Jesus prayed. He told them that they needed to watch and pray, lest they enter into temptation, because while the Spirit truly is ready, the flesh is weak. Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, and James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh, and he findeth him sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The Corinthians were told to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to be brave, to be strong, and to do all things with love, remembering to listen to and follow those who preach the word of God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us, and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, and Fortuitus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul's farewell message to the Ephesian elders included directions to watch and remember. He told them that he was headed to Jerusalem, even though he had no idea what would be awaiting him there, except that he knew the Holy Spirit would lead him to share the message of the kingdom of God. Paul added that even though he knew he was coming to the end of the line for his ministry, he knew he had not hidden from them what God would want them to hear. The elders were reminded of the need to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, because Paul expected after his departure, some would seek to destroy the church, to draw away believers after themselves. With the warning of those who would seek to destroy the church, they were told to watch and to remember how and what Paul had told them. During these end times, we need to watch for those who seek to destroy the church and to remember what we have been taught concerning the faith. Acts 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take ye to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember. that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Jesus also told the disciples to remember what they were taught when persecution comes. He told them that for some, they would be kicked out of the synagogue and others would be put to death. And when this happens, or any other bad trial of life, we might look around and wonder, where is Jesus? Jesus told his disciples they were not considering where he would be going, even though he told them that he would be going so that the Holy Spirit could be sent in his place. It is through the Holy Spirit that the world is reproved of sin, righteousness, and judgment, because the world did not believe Jesus was the Son of God, because Jesus returned to our Father in heaven, and because the prince of this world is judged. John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Paul reminded Timothy that there is a need to remember that Jesus Christ, of the lineage of David, was raised from the dead, especially when we suffer for the sake of righteousness on earth, knowing we will obtain salvation through Jesus Christ and rule with him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Remembering what has happened in our faith is crucial for the future of our faith. When Jesus was sailing across the sea, likely the Sea of Galilee, he turned to the disciples who had forgotten to bring bread and told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And even after all of this time with Jesus, they still did not understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus then reminded them of the time he used 5 loaves of bread to feed 5,000, asking them if they actually saw with their eyes and actually heard with their ears, or had they already forgotten what had happened. Remembering what has happened in our faith is crucial for the future of our faith. Mark 8, verse 13. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see you not, and having ears, hear you not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, and how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? The Thessalonians were warned that as the return of Jesus Christ inches closer and closer, they should not be shaken in mind or troubled by word or spirit, or even a phony letter claiming Jesus has returned, as if it was a letter approved by the church. They were told to let no person deceive them, because there will be a falling away that comes first, led by the son of perdition, who opposes all that is God, who considers himself to be like God, acting as if he is God. When we see this, we are to remember that Paul warned the Thessalonians of this thousands of years ago. Those who do not appreciate and love the truth will be deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul reminded the Thessalonians that they were called by God to understand the gospel and to obtain glory through Jesus Christ, and that they were to stand fast and hold the traditions they were taught, knowing that Jesus Christ and God our Father has given us an incredible hope, and that we should bring comfort to our heart and should establish us in what we say and do. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The reality is, we don't know when Jesus will return, but we do know that time right before Jesus returns will be like the days of Noah. And Noah lived during a time when the thoughts of man was on evil constantly. Though we live in an evil world, we are to watch, to be vigilant, so that we are not caught up in the evil that is this world, and to remember what has already happened to us in our faith, to use that as something to hold on to as we move forward, getting closer each day to the kingdom of God, knowing that through Jesus Christ and God our Father, they will comfort us and establish us in what we say and do. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath, which this year is also the Feast of Trumpets. Until then, thank you for joining us today.